Hey, this is Mango. You're listening to TSR.
TCR.
TCR?
TCR. The Center Ring.
That's what I said. I did say TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello, everybody. Hello, and welcome back to another edition of the Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast, episode 180, coming to you live and or pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, October 6, 2019. The time, 8:24 p.m. Central Time. This is going to be the best episode ever, and I mean it this time. We have lots to get to. We got Yikes of the Week, as we do on every Monday episode. Got some e-news to touch on at the end. Is NA versus EU a thing again in esports? Looks like it's kind of kicking up with the Call of Duty League and Counter-Strike, so we'll talk about that. And also DreamHack Malmo. Wow. What a tournament that I don't think was on a lot of our radars prior to it beginning. But what an event. And we'll talk about all that here in just a moment. But first, be sure and follow us on Twitter, at The Center Ring. Our website, tcr.gg, has all of the links to Twitter, Discord, which you should totally join, YouTube. Go ahead and subscribe to that. We put all of our episodes on there. We stream it live on YouTube and Twitch and everything anyways. But we're going to put more content out there soon on YouTube, so be sure and follow there. And you know what? Just be a fan of the show. That also helps out. But that can be all on our website, tcr.gg. Hello, my name is Tim. I will be your captain for this journey into esports. And alongside me, as always, my best friend, my best bud, my brown bud, it's Anuj.
How you doing, man?
I am good. It's Sunday night.
Happy Sunday, yeah. Cold front's coming in over here. It's not like 90.
It's gonna be like 79 tomorrow. What a cold front.
It's freezing. I have a jacket I'm wearing tomorrow. Parka, actually.
It's funny. I before we did the show, I did like step outside real quick just to see if it felt cool. It doesn't yet. It still feels pretty hot. But then I was like, well, it's gonna be like 77. It's still gonna feel warm. It's not like winter.
I bought my esports hand warmers. I bought gloves. I mean, I'm completely prepared for the apocalypse.
No. And I was like promised big storms today and nothing. We got nothing where I live. But alas, that's weather, man. If we could all operate with the same accuracy as weathermen, none of us would get fired. Like if I could get away with my job with the same type of accuracy that, and I under, like this is an argument that I get into with a lot of people, but weathermen are like borderline useless. Just throw up whatever stat you have online or on an app. I'll look at it and I'll figure it out myself. I can look at a radar and see if the clouds are coming, but weathermen are like, yeah, that's going to be about a 70% chance. And then I'm like, sweet, 70% chance of thunderstorms. It's going to be a good night. All of a sudden, I go out. It's still sunny. Nothing happening. I don't get a single drop of rain. And I'm like, weatherman, where are you at? And he's like, well, I did say 70%. So
they're updating odds as they go, because then later on you look at it and it's like, oh, it says 20% now.
And then they're like, see, look.
We could just change our answer.
I changed it. There's no lock-in date, right? There needs to be a lock-in time like sports where it's like, no, you gave me the odds. You can't change the odds, Vegas, all right? We put money on this.
They got smart. They went with live in-game betting for the weatherman now.
Yeah, that'll be Thrive's next thing is weather betting. You can do daily prop bets on the weather, the local weather. That's got to be a thing, right? Gambling addicts?
I'm kind of interested myself. So.
Let me hear from you if that's a thing. Before we get too far into the show, let me ask you a question, Anuj. Okay? And this started today, and I'm really honestly torn with how I want to handle it. And I feel like you and me are cut from similar cloths in the sense of we like to have fun playing games, right? But we definitely play to win. Like, it's not that we're tryhards. We don't get sweaty. But
it's more fun when you win.
Right. Like, if we hop on a game, if it's just like, man, I'm bored. What do you want to do? You want to play some Apex? Sure. We're not going in just to, like, oh, let's only use pistols, right? It's like, no, let's... I'm going
to kill everybody and win.
Right. Like, I want
to
win.
Like, Counter-Strike. I don't want to waste 45 minutes to an hour of my time losing. Like,
yeah. I'm not going to glass cannon a scout anytime soon, right?
Scout Deagle? Not going to go Scout Deagle the whole time?
No, it's just not my style. And it's never been. Like, I don't think I've ever raged quit in a game, like mid-game. Now, there's definitely been times where it's like after the game, I'm like, I'm done with this for today. But never like mid-game. I've never thrown. I've never deranked. I also don't really believe in smurfing all that much. Like, I think that's just an excuse to say you suck at your own rank. So you're going to go beat up on other people. Like, you don't have a pro. Like, Tom Brady isn't going to go to the Canadian Football League anytime soon. Right? Like, no. That's just
to put up 450 and five.
Yeah,
touchdowns.
Like, he's like, you know what? I just want to break every record because it's fun. Like, no, he's not doing that. He's going to stick with the NFL. So I'm anti, like, cheating the system or, you know, anything like that. I like to play right, but I also like to win. So, you know, most of our listeners know, I'm in, like, this Overwatch beer league type of thing. It's, you can't call it a league because Blizzard will get upset with it. It's technically a community, but F it. I don't, what are they going to do? Come after us? No. It's a league. It's like a beer league where it's just people and we made teams and there's like, I don't know, 10 of us maybe. And we play every Wednesday night. So there's like free agents on the Discord. So we picked one up. I don't have any say in this. Our buddy TJ is like the captain of the team. So he handles everything. I just kind of show up because the care level of care has dropped significantly on Niche, as you know. After every match, I tell you, why the hell do I do this?
This is
the one. This is the one I'm done. I'm done after this one. So TJ goes ahead and he recruits this kid. And I say kid. I'm 29 years old. This kid is 13. Nothing against 13-year-olds. Like, if we have 13-year-old listeners, shout out. You know, you guys are great. I don't necessarily want to play with them, though. And I don't think that's rude. I don't think that's mean of me to say. Like, I'm 29, don't really want to spend my free time talking to a 13-year-old.
I don't blame you.
Right? Like, that's not wrong. I think any of our older listeners can agree. Nothing. I used to be that 13-year-old playing Halo where everyone would insta-mute. Like, I get it. So today in Discord, this kid puts in the chat, hey, I need one more for a 6-stack. And I was like, oh, damn. Like a 6-stack, you don't get that very often. And then I continue reading the sentence. We're throwing to get to bronze.
Uh-oh, so now you got the double whammy.
So now, exactly. So now I already really don't want to play with this guy anyways, because he's like 13. And now I found out, oh, so you're that person. You're that person who will throw matches to de-rank yourself. And keep in mind, he's like almost diamond. Like earlier today, he was asking, hey, if I hit diamond, am I still allowed to play in the league, right? So this is a guy who was just worried about hitting diamond, and now he's asking for a 6-stack so they can throw to get to bronze and then smurf their way back up. And so me, being the adult that I am, said, what did I tell him? Something along the lines of, oh, I said, you know, do us all a favor and just uninstall the game. Like, I want nothing to do with you. Like, knowing that you are that type of person. And our buddy TJ, I think, was trying to defuse the situation because he knows me well enough and was like, well, if it's a 6-stack, who's it hurting? And I'm like, the integrity of the game, the fact that now they're 6-stack throwing, those are other people who are getting free SR, boosting them up higher than what they should be at. They're not earning a win. And then these guys are going to be smurfing in bronze, which is going to kill the lower ranks, which screws everything up anyways. So my question to you, it's not really a question. I really just don't want to play with him anymore.
I just don't like this kid.
I just don't like him.
You have every right to feel that way. I would be annoyed too. I mean, first of all, I agree with the 13-year-old thing. I'm 34 years old. Who the hell wants to play with a 13-year-old at my age? Like, let's just be real. We're in very different parts of... We have bedtimes for a different reason. His, because it's dictated by his parents. Mine is dictated by my wife. I have to wake up for work in the morning. He's got to wake up for, like, preschool. Yeah, I don't even know. Like, 13, what are you, 7th grade maybe-ish?
He might be in high school at 13.
No. Are you?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I'll figure that out. My son turns a month tomorrow. So on Monday, when people are listening to this, my son, he's a month old. I got plenty of time to figure out when high school starts.
Yeah. So, I mean, definitely wouldn't want to play with a kid that young, at least in a competitive environment, right? If I'm joining a pug game, we've all been in an Apex match or something where you have that little kid. I don't care about that. That's not what I'm talking about.
I'm not backing out just because he's a kid.
I'm talking about, like, if I'm playing in a competitive league with my friends, whether it's a beer league or not, it's still a competitive league.
We're all older. We're all, like you said, we're all talking about things. Some things seem a little awkward. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know me. Would I care either way?
No, I know.
I don't care. But it's just one of those things where it's just like, okay. And now that I know he's this type of person where he's like throwing games to D rank. Like, if he's doing that, I know it's, like, not exclusively with six stacks, right? Like, he's totally done this before, or he's definitely thrown games just to be that person. Like if you ever found out that I just have an alternate account that I casually hack with on Counter-Strike because I think it's fun, like, you would definitely judge me for that. You would definitely be like, yeah, I don't want to play with you.
I wouldn't judge you. I would report you. I would come to your house. I would make sure, like, your anti-detection didn't work. I mean, you know what, Tim? Boycott the next game.
I think I am.
You were him, and if they choose him, you know where your friends' alliances lie. Cut ties.
I know. And you know what? Knowing my friends, they're 100% going to side with him. The same reason they sided with the person that I was talking smack to on the game number one, and they asked me to calm down. I'm like, I'm just talking smack. Like, it's just fun. But no, I know. I wanted your opinion, and I want our listeners' opinion. Like, am I the big jerk for not wanting to play with this kid because I found out that he throws games to D rank to bronze when he's almost diamond, according to him? Like, that's a long drop. Like, that isn't like that's a day's work of throwing matches.
So y'all picked up a 13-year-old rather than plugging Brett into the league?
Brett's there, but he's a bench rider.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He rides the bench.
So you picked up a 13-year-old to start.
Brett is support. This kid, we needed like another DPS. Again, though, I think I would rather... Because the thing is like we picked him up because we were struggling in certain areas. Well, we still suck, right? So now, at least before we were sucking, it was just like with other friends that we played with. Now we're sucking with this 13-year-old in my ear, and I know that he's throwing matches. So you know what? The next time I see him make a stupid mistake, I'm going to be like, geez, maybe if you didn't just waste an entire Sunday throwing matches, you would have actually gotten better at the game to know what to do in that situation.
Keep us updated on this.
I will come back. So we record Wednesday nights after those matches, typically. We normally record before or after. Maybe this week we'll record after so you can get my fresh take on the 13-year-old thrower that I am forced to play with in our Overwatch League that I'm having very mixed feelings. And at the same time, I also feel like I shouldn't let a 13-year-old dictate what I'm playing, but if I'm not having fun... 13-year-old
just got some surprising airtime on the show. That's the most impressive.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, you know. That's it. That is my conundrum that I'm in.
That was like a quick salt mine.
It was. I guess you could say it was a salt mine. We haven't done that segment in a long time, so we'll label it salt mine. Why not?
There'll be salt mine, yeah. Throw in some
I don't know. Let me know. As a listener, let me know either on Discord or on Twitter You can tweet me at Pirate Mushroom or at The Center Ring. We both see that. What
and if you're
what,
a 13-year-old listener, let us know what you think
about
exactly.
This too. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, true. Maybe I'm the big jerk, but I, like I said, I've never, even when I was 13, it was always, I was here to win. I was never here to throw. I was never here just to smurf.
And Tim, that's why we're winners today. We're winners like Fnatic today.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. You think anyone in Fnatic threw matches? Do you think they wasted their time deranking to silver one? No.
I bet JW did. JW seems like that kind of guy.
Because in Counter-Strike, all you have to do is not play for a month, and then the game will rank you at silver too. You don't have to. You don't have to throw in CS:GO to derank.
You just gotta play.
Just don't. Yeah, just play, and you're all of a sudden be like, "Hey, we guys know you were LG, but." You haven't played in like 2 months, so clearly your skill have dropped to a silver two, right? Sure. Sure, Valve. Why not? No. Fnatic, man. What an incredible story from DreamHack Masters Malmo. Because, like I said, I don't know if it was with New York and the Overwatch League finals, and the major doesn't seem that far away. This really wasn't on my radar of like events to watch. And I know it's got big teams in it. It definitely should have been on my radar, but up until like the hype of the playoffs and everything, I really wasn't paying too much attention to it.
Well, it's on the heels of, you know, ESL New York. We had the major right before that. So now, you know, a DreamHack Masters event, you know, on the scale or echelon of these three, like it's the lowest one, but you're right. There were a lot of good teams, you know, in this event, and a lot of teams to look forward to for various reasons. Liquid, could they bounce back from their struggles? Vitality, obviously now acquiring Shox. How is that lineup going to look? And then Fnatic kind of going back to what they do best, right? Like bringing back a roster from virtually 2016, 2017. And, couple of other pieces obviously on there, but there were a lot of teams involved in this tournament where it was going to be fun to see. And that's not even counting Na'Vi with Guardian, right? Like, so now you're talking about four or five of the top premier teams, all with pretty good storylines going into this event. And everyone
could
showed
this be like, the last time you see Optic in CS:GO.
That's true. I mean, who knows what's going on with that situation? I mean, that's an interesting situation with them. It's always weird with them playing under the banner because it feels like they're teamless, right? Like it feels like they're orgless.
At any moment they could just, that gun is to their head. Org just has to pull that trigger.
And Config, you know, and talking about Optic, Thorin had an article come out at the beginning of the event, pretty much calling out Config in his career, right? Like just saying this guy was one of the brightest stars. Lack of work ethic, you know, lack of care, whatever the situation may be, just dropped off. And now he's basically second, third, fourth best player on his team. Below average at most tournaments.
He could come back at any moment.
And that was the whole thing. And so then he came out and tweeted after they were eliminated from the event that he's going to refocus himself. And that was a little bit of a wake-up call. And he, you know, so yeah. It'll be kind of fun to see.
Config, he's 22 years old. Okay, and like we just said, look at their situation. Like he is in an awful situation to be someone who cares right now. Like I guess you could say, hey, you should care because you're all about to be free agents, or you're really like you're being shopped around. You need to care so people will pick you up. But that's not how like the human brain works. Like right now, Optic is in a situation where like you're at work. You just got your second warning from your manager, and he's pretty much saying, look, the company wants to let you go. Let me talk to them, and I'll get back to you. And they haven't gotten back to the players yet on what the hell they're going to do. So, like, Config has kind of fell off the map. So has everyone else in Danish Counter-Strike, right? Like, that whole scene has fell off the map for whatever reason. But
well, besides Astralis.
Are we gonna let one team try to pick up an entire
1-4-time winner pick up a country of two teams? Right. Yes, we will. No, I mean, but for Config, this is not just something that's been happening recently. I mean, it's been an ongoing struggle for him. I mean, he just hasn't performed well really over his last 10 plus. I mean, this is before these announcements, he has kind of fallen off. So
yeah.
Anyways, it was just interesting timing. It came out, like I said, right at middle to end of the event. And he responded to it. And so just be fun to see if he can re-energize himself, because he really was one of the best there. When they were on North, he was top five player, you know, it felt like in the world at that point. And so,
who always talks smack?
A bunch. He talks, like remember, they were so hated. It happened in Dallas.
With G2? Some French team. What or was it?
Surprise. Somebody has a problem with the French team. No. He was constantly on the end of
a dispute,
several arguments or disputes. Yeah, I mean, he was a problem child, but he backed up his play, so nobody cared. Remember, he had that amazing knife. I think it was in the major. That was like one of the most clutch knives in a 1v1. I mean, he's been in his fair share of big moments. He's also been in his big share of his fair share of controversy. So, fun to see what they respond with. But yeah, I mean, back to the event. Again, there were plenty of storylines going into this event, so it did catch our attention, I felt like, going into the weekend. Looking at the teams that were advancing and some of the matchups that we had the lovely Swedish Derby in Malmö, which would be NiP versus Fnatic. And anytime they go head-to-head, I feel like it's a pretty special matchup. To have that happen in Sweden, really cool, really weird not to see Get Right in
play
classic there.
It's very classic CS, right? That's why.
For sure.
It's like an original six in the NHL playing each other. It's like, this is a classic right now. Regardless of where the teams are at individually or with the players, it's like, this is one where I feel like the orgs carry enough weight to where, you're paying attention to it. And you know what? I know I said this event wasn't really on my radar, and I don't feel that bad because it definitely wasn't on the locals' radar either.
They forgot to advertise, I think.
I don't know if they just forgot to open the doors. Maybe it was only staff members allowed.
For that Swedish holiday matchup between Fnatic and NiP, I was expecting every seat to be sold out in that venue. Chanting, yelling. I mean, I thought it was going to be a split house. There was like maybe 30% of the stadium full when they started playing. I mean, it felt so empty and it was quiet. And
I think it was actually DreamHack or someone took a picture and they were like, let's go the Swedish, whatever they're calling it, Derby or whatever, right? And they were like, let's go, like, the rivalry exists. And then they had like a picture, like a wide angle of the stadium. And I was like, is this like in the morning? Like, what happened? Like, is this like, this is a live photo, like just about to happen? Like, no, that
please tell me this was 4 hours before the event.
Right. And that was kind of it throughout the whole weekend, right? Like any crowd shot, it just seemed like no one was there.
It seemed fairly empty. I agree.
And I always thought Sweden was like a, you know, Europe, right? Like that's a hotbed for esports, as I'm told. And this was a big event as far as like DreamHack Masters, right? Like Dallas was a master event for DreamHack this year. And like that was reasonably sold out, I think.
And for a Swedish team to push all the way through into the finals, for it to be empty says a lot, because it's not like we were missing star power at any point during the event. And the, you know, we'll kind of get on to the playoff side of it, but you did have Astralis in the playoffs going head to head against Fnatic. You talk about a four-time, you know, major winning team going up against a Swedish powerhouse. You have the best players in the world going head to head in Zywoo and Simple. And that drama got stirred up this weekend with the ex-coach from Na'Vi saying Simple was jealous of Zywoo, which really, I don't believe that nonsense. I think Kane is the one that said it. I just,
I really feel like he should shut up.
It sounds bad, but I don't think that's true at all. I think that was just him talking nonsense. But you had, again, the top two players in the world on the other side of the semis going head-to-head. So you had everything there for an amazing tournament weekend. And again, the gameplay did not let us down. I mean, the only thing that did, I think, again, was the crowd support. But the matches that we had were fantastic. Before we kind of jump into the playoffs, just a couple of quick things here. Obviously, we mentioned it last week, but Evil Geniuses were knocked out early into this tournament.
Throw away the tape.
Throw this one away. Blame it on the travel, whatever. Just get rid of it. G2 also eliminated, you know, early on. Liquid did not make it out of the lower bracket. So for them, the struggles continue and the NAF rumors continue to swirl. I don't think those are real. I don't think they're making a change. They've come out and said that, but
you know, we talked a little bit about that on Discord too with some listeners throughout the week. Was, you know, if I don't think it's time for Liquid to make a change, but obviously, just given the nature of the landscape, those rumors are going to start flying around. You know, given one more or two bad events, and it's like, who do you kick off that team? And it's like, maybe NAF is drawing the short straw, but even looking at there, just on paper, you're like, man, I feel like you just ride it out. Like,
I like the swap idea that people are discussing if it were to happen. Not saying you should replace NAF, okay?
What are they
discussing? I think NAF's a great player. Automatic. So Automatic would be the replacement there.
I don't like that idea. I think that would be terrible for him.
For C9, obviously, that would be really rough. But as a, you know, looking at Liquid's best interest, I think that would do a lot for him. I also think in terms of bringing in positivity, if they were to do something like that, that would be a solid move. So I would say that would be a win, again, if that happens. But again, they continue to struggle. This is like the third or fourth tournament in a row. This time felt a little different. Like in the last two tournaments, hey, you got knocked out by Astralis. You got knocked out by Astralis in the major. Like, it sucks, but hell, you got beat by one of the best teams ever in Counter-Strike. Then you go to ESL 1 New York. You get knocked out by, I believe it was Astralis again. Okay, annoying, but again, still, you're looking at them as the best team, if not the second best team in the world. This time was a little different. Losing to Greyhound in the fashion that they lost, I think they were up 12-3 first half and came back.
12-3 on Mirage, and then ended up losing 16-13, so they won one round on CT side on Mirage.
To Greyhound. I mean, this is to one of the lower tier one teams in that sense, and they got 2-0'd by them, so they really got smacked and handed it to them in that match. So these rumors are going to continue to swirl until they have some good outcomes, because this is not going to work. You can't be losing to teams like this and then not at least making it to a playoff stage in this event. So we'll stay closely tied to the hip with them, because they're going to be a hot topic over the next few weeks, just to see what they do.
Yeah, it's losses like this too that can help expedite those roster changes too, right? Like you said, losing, okay, guys, we just can't win a major, darn. And then you look and you're like, oh, but we keep losing to the number one team in the world. Like, let's not sound any alarms here, you know? But yeah, if they can kind of, because you got to remember too, what sent them to the loser's bracket was losing 16-9 on Overpass to Optic. So it's like, even getting there, it wasn't like, well, they, you know, lost to a solid team to get sent down. Like, no, they had probably one of the cushiest round ones in Group B. And
then you lose to North 2-1, and then you go to Greyhound. Again, you didn't lose to any powerhouse teams in this event. You lost to some of the worst teams in this event. So
they were also at New York, though, right?
They were, but they had an earlier exit, so their travel schedule is a little bit different than a team that
still
played until,
you know,
Sunday night.
Turnaround. Still a little quick turnaround.
It is, but it's like,
no excuses.
That matters to me if it's like you're playing the top tier teams. These are teams you should be beating in your sleep, in my mind. Again, no team's an easy defeat, but there's a big difference between Liquid's lineup and Greyhound's lineup, or Liquid's lineup and Optic's current lineup.
Like, even on an off day, Liquid should beat Greyhound, or at least take a map, right? Like, at least
shouldn't be blowing
a
12-3 lead, right? Like, that's just losing focus more than anything. A team that I was pleasantly surprised with that unfortunately didn't make it into the playoff stage, Mouse Sports. I thought they played really well in this event, eventually getting knocked out by Vitality. But again, another really young team. I mean, you just look at Frozen and Rops. I know Chris J is obviously more the veteran there, but they're a team that I get excited to watch play. They're a fun team. I think Rops is an elite level talent. I'm hoping to see more from them, but I thought they gave us a really good event. I enjoyed watching their matches, but we should get to the big boys here.
Yeah.
This is all about the big boys, right? Like, this is about going into the playoff round. Start off with the first one. I mean, Astralis Fnatic, did you get a chance to watch it?
I caught a little bit of it. I did not get to really pay too much attention to it other than the fact, like, obviously on Nuke is when I was paying a little bit more attention just with the crazy back and forth overtime. I mean, Fnatic ended up taking it 25-23. I just think it's nuts how Fnatic, and you know, we don't have to change the topic too quick here, but you did bring it up in the pre-show meeting where, like, last week we even gave FaZe a little slack being like, well, you know, it's a new roster, give them some time. And yet Fnatic is sitting here with a new roster, right? Like, is it Brolin? Is that how you say the name?
Yeah. Brolin. They obviously been back. Golden.
No. Yeah, like Brolin is fresh. You know, he's been on the team for a little bit, but still, like, as far as a roster total-wise, you know, a new roster. And for them to take out Astralis in the fashion that they did, like, they could have easily crumbled in, like, the overtime map on Nuke and everything like that. And I just think it's impressive to see Fnatic back. Maybe they had some extra energy, right? Kind of bringing the boys back, but it was exciting to see.
No, I agree. I completely agree. I thought the first map being Overpass, I thought that's always a good pick for Fnatic. They're just notoriously kind of always been strong on that map. You start to think back of the four-man boost, and they've always just been a good team on Overpass. For Nuke, that was a surprising one because Nuke is, again, a very strong map for Astralis. I think they're the team that went on that, 20 or 30-plus game win streak on Nuke early on.
Right.
This did go back and forth, and it looked tough, actually. At the beginning, it looked like Fnatic was going to go into OT and really lose this because they had, I think, four match points on Nuke prior to heading into overtime. And Fnatic went on, or Astralis went on a, you know, 4-0 run to end that side, end their CT side, make it come back and take that into OT. OT went deep. I think it went to, four overtimes, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Three or four overtimes. And they were able to pull it out. But yeah, convincing 2-0 win. I mean, they were really, you were seeing kind of a old JW. I know that comes up every once in a while where you see JW kind of look like the aggressive opera that we're kind of used to seeing, and you love those moments when you see him because you don't see him obviously as often as you used to. But Crims, you know, I know Crims did not have the best game against Astralis, but throughout the tournament, for me, he was really the X factor. I mean, the number of clutches that this guy had, especially going into the finals, seeing that core kind of back together was fun. Flusher coming out of retirement, I say retirement, he's been idle for quite some time now. Golden, again, another fascinating
story
because, yeah, he shaved his head.
Like, but is that really all? Like, the dude looks like he just, like, walked out of prison and not in the bad way. Like, the dude looks like
a little bit better shape.
Yeah, like, he's lost some weight. Your head make you look like
he lost weight too.
It looks good.
Prison is where Golden came from, coming off of the various back and forth. Obviously, he got booted from Fnatic, if people don't kind of remember Golden's history a little bit here. He got booted from Fnatic right after a tournament win and then was, I think, shipped over to, was it Cloud9 directly after that?
I went from Fnatic to Cloud9. Well, he went Fnatic, inactive, Cloud9, inactive, back to the starting lineup for Cloud9 because they had that thing going on.
Went to NiP on loan at some point in the middle of all of that, and then found his way back onto Fnatic's roster. So his last tournament with Fnatic, tournament win. His first tournament back with Fnatic, tournament win. So you like to see that. Those are just, like, good stories. But these guys were beating good teams to get to where they got to. So, you know, this tournament for them probably feels a little extra special. It's not very often that you come out of a tournament and you can be like, hey, we took out Astralis 2-0, and then we went into the finals head-to-head against number, you know, top five team in the world in Vitality, and come out looking great there too. So they were the first team, I think, to advance. The second matchup was the one that I think was most anticipated going into the semis. Vitality and Na'Vi, just for the simple fact you had Zywoo and Simple going head-to-head.
Right, you kind of have Simple, which is the number one player in the world, versus Zywoo, which is kind of like the new number one in the world, according to some, right? It's kind of, you talk to some people and they'll tell you either one could be number one. So you did kind of have that marquee matchup between them. Again, I didn't get to watch too much of it, but it obviously went the distance going three maps to Dust 2. Did you get to see some of that?
I did, yeah. Simple had a tough tournament in the sense of this particular matchup. It wasn't so much that Zywoo was just outgunning him. He just wasn't doing a lot of the stuff that we're used to seeing Simple doing. Part of it is he's also off of the op now, so people have to remember it's not like a direct head-to-head matchup with Zywoo and Simple, as most people might have thought it would have been, just because Simple is now back to being a rifler on that team.
Which he prefers.
He does.
He prefers the freedom of being a rifler.
And it makes sense because he was, you know, it's going to be fantastic in either role, but you're right. The rifling does give him some more freedom and an opportunity to move around the map more. Plus, you want Guardian on the op if you have Guardian on your team. So Guardian had a tough series against these guys at minus 15. Simple was minus throughout the series with them with a minus 5 overall. A low ADR also. So it just, it's showing that he wasn't getting in the action 60, as much
his
as
his ADR average damage per round was 64.5, which is not good.
Yeah, you consider like 80 and above to be like pretty good, you know? And so he had just a tough series against them. Zywoo obviously was the story of that series. He was great overall. I think his only negative map was Nuke against them, but yeah, him and Shox really could be a pretty deadly combo. It was great to see Shox step into a role where he does not have to worry about calling. You know, he mentioned he's been calling really for the last 2.5-3 years with his various rosters that he's been on. So this takes a little bit off of his plate, and you hope that with Alex's leadership, he's able to really be a top-tier just fragger. And if you can frag along with Zywoo and really be that Robin to his Batman, because Zywoo needs to be the Batman in this scenario, they really have the potential to be something special. And I thought what a great first showing for these guys to make it all the way to the finals, beat a team like Na'Vi, even though they had Guardian and it was kind of a little new for them. They looked good, so... Mm-hmm. Check goes to Zywoo, I guess, in the first head-to-head for them.
It's settled. He's the best player in the world.
Number one.
And that gets us to the grand finals, Fnatic versus Vitality. These are my favorite types of finals, right? Because, A, no one was expecting it. Like, maybe Vitality. But really, for the most part, though, either one of these teams that were going to win, I think everyone would have been, like, really happy about it. Right, like Fnatic, you still had that feel good story of they got to the finals in their home stadium with, you know, tens and twelves of fans watching, like the dozens of fans watching in the stadium. How amazing for them to have like a private show that Fnatic is there. And then Vitality, I think everyone is waiting for that moment for them to really like take charge and be that top three, top two, maybe even team with Liquid struggling the way they are. I think this is probably their better time to take advantage of that. But Fnatic wasn't having it as they ended up winning 2-1. Now, this I did get to watch. I watched Inferno and Mirage earlier today. And, you know, apart from when Inferno went into overtime, they were close matches, but like even Mirage, I felt like Fnatic was kind of in control like the entire time. Even when they finished that first half 9-6, like Fnatic looked really, really confident throughout the entire match.
Well, it should have been a 2-0 series. Fnatic just couldn't close it out in Inferno. They had what, six matches?
Well, they did
points,
they did
I think?
Close it out. They didn't close out Dust 2.
They didn't. Oh yeah, I'm sorry, but they should have closed out, I guess, Inferno early on. They had right. Like six match points that allowed that to kind of carry over and go into overtime. And then they, you're right. Yeah. They did win it in overtime there. Yeah, I think in this particular matchup, we saw a lot of what we were hoping to see. We saw a great JW play. Again, Crims, we mentioned him a little bit earlier, was fantastic throughout really all three maps. I know he was negative in the Dust 2 match, but again, I felt like he was just an effective player. It was, their core really has something there, right? Like in the sense of they just know each other so well. And there's that excitement when they're doing well, you can see how happy like they are playing CS. You know, like right. It's almost like you're watching them from 3 years ago.
Now, this isn't the first homecoming for Fnatic, right? Like, no, they broke up a little bit. They went to like Godsent, right? Wasn't that like the team yeah, that they kind of split the for? Split. And then JW ended up coming back, and then Olfmeister ended up leaving, and that's how he got up to FaZe. So obviously time will tell as far as how this one turns out, but no, like they really like they looked good at this event.
What do they take from this event? Like in the sense of what do we take from this event on Fnatic? How much carryover do we anticipate seeing going into future events?
My takeaway from Fnatic for Malmo is that the players know their roles, right? So I do think you will see some carryover as far as, you know, you might see the only drop off that you might see, I think, is going to be like raw talent. You know, like I don't know if things were reversed and, you know, can they 2-0 Astralis again? That I don't know, right? Like, are we going to see a carryover on that type of level? Probably not, right? But I do think that you're going to see some carryover in the sense of, like, I would be surprised if they just got blown up at the next event.
I think they're always going to be a tough out. I think it's going to be tough for them to have any sort of consistency in terms of winning tournaments. But I think they're always going to be a tough out just because they're a veteran, savvy team. I think for this, hopefully this is motivation just to go back and work harder, right? Like, this was a good event. You should feel good coming out of it. I think the next couple of events will dictate what we see from them over the next year, right? If they drop off real quick in the next event or two, I think it'll be hard for them to rebound and find that confidence. Mm-hmm. But I think if they play well the next few events, then we could see consistency from them because they should only get stronger, right? Like Golden getting a chance to call again. Brolin is very young. You kind of hope to see a little bit more out of them. I thought he had a tough tournament as a whole. He was consistently... And granted, I don't know the details of exactly like, hey, this is how we play Brolin, right? We put him in the toughest position, so he's going to have the taco type of role where we need him for assist.
Right.
He's going to cover spots nobody wants to cover.
That the life of an entry fagger is not glorifying.
But with that being said, his stats were fairly rough, you know, in the matchup. His overall, he was the one kind of lacking behind. But they came out with the win. So I think they need to just be feeling good right now. I think you go back and hopefully they continue to work hard. I think they will. It's nice to see three veteran players come in and hold up a trophy in their hometown. This is going to mean a lot for them. The carryover from this, I'm more excited to see what Vitality does next, right? Like, how do they grow? Because I think they have the potential to be a number one or two team in the world.
Yeah, you know, for them, I think their main takeaway from this was frustration. And hopefully they just kind of leave that at their arena and move on. Because they had a strong event, but an ugly finals. Or at least with Apex, like, did you see how he threw his chair?
Well, yeah, minus 21 for the finals, and he was bad the whole tournament. He's been negative, I think, the last three tournaments now. So for Apex, yeah, that chair took a beating the way he flipped it at the end. But deservedly so. Again, Vitality, hopefully they keep the drama to a minimum. And I think they have a chance to be a very, very dangerous team in all the upcoming events that they're in. So I thought we had a really good event, a surprisingly good event for something that I just wasn't that hyped about going in. No. I'll be honest. We didn't really hype it up going into it. So,
Hey, don't feel bad. Because watching it. Sweden wasn't hyped either, given the the attendance there. So that's Fnatic true. Ended up winning. They get the first lock for Katowice 2020. So they qualify for that by winning that, which is awesome because there are a lot of invite slots for that. Six, I believe. Six
I forgot
invite
about that.
Slots. Oh, no, seven. And then you can even qualify. But, you know, you don't, you wonder, like, is Fnatic, would they have been a team to get invite or qualify later on? This is a nice, they can kind of, you know, check it off their list and be like, okay, we got into Katowice.
Yeah, we're good there. That's
which is probably the bigger thing
event.
To take away from it, right? Is like, yeah. Now we will see them.
I would expect to see Vitality there too.
Of course. But I think Vitality is a team that could get an invite. I don't know if Fnatic could get an invite.
I'm looking at a picture of Flesha. He's lost a lot of weight.
That's a dude. The dude looks like he's transformed.
He's lost a ton of weight.
Yeah.
And Cirque. Go look at a picture of Cirque. Dude's lost at least 50 pounds, if not more.
Really?
So he's down quite a bit too. So good job on you esports coaches out there, life coaches.
Eating right.
They're like putting these guys in good position. He's looking good.
So Border asks in Twitch chat if we think Fnatic is back. Look, as I think we both kind of said, I think the potential for them to be back is there. I you can't say after one tournament, right? But it looked good. They looked good. I think that's where we're going to leave that. As we said, for Katowice, Fnatic will be there. So keep an eye out for that. And any upcoming event with Thrive Fantasy. It's your daily fantasy sports app for prop bets. When you sign up, use the code TCR. And you will get $10 matching your first $10 deposit. That is TCR upon sign up for Thrive Fantasy. They do regular sports. They do esports. Check them out. Tell them TCR sent ya. Let's get into Yikes of the Week, and then we'll talk a little EU versus NA in esports again, as that rivalry seems to be picking up a little bit. My Yikes of the Week comes from Call of Duty. It was, you know, their mobile thing came out, and it kind of got some buzz. I thought it was funny. I downloaded it. I honestly haven't played it yet. Have you played COD Mobile?
I don't do, like, not a knock on mobile games, although I'm not a big fan of mobile games.
Mobile gaming is the number one gaming platform.
That's not the kind of mobile game. Yes, thank you, Candy Crush. I do not
females
play these types
are
of mobile
the majority of gamers, sir. The stats don't lie.
13 to 27, I know. No, I don't play shooters on mobile. It's just not my thing.
So
I have no
downloaded
interest in
it.
Even trying it out.
I downloaded it to be like a good gamer. And then I opened it up. And I was like, I don't care. And then I uninstalled it. I downloaded it. I opened it up. It said I had to create an account or like log in through Facebook or something like that. And I was like, don't care. I deleted it. I uninstalled it without playing a game. I was like, this isn't something I'm going to play. So why am I going to bother creating another account for something?
Just to have my controller support. If it had controller support and maybe I was on the road, okay, I might give it a whirl, but without controller support, I'm not doing.
No. My yikes of the week, though, isn't just the fact that mobile gaming is a thing, but the fact that COD Mobile already has ranked ladders. And like the pro scene, the COD pro scene kind of made fun of this too, and that's what made me say yikes about it, was the fact that like Black Ops 4 did not get ranked ladders until like 7 months into its like 10-month lifespan. Like COD games don't have a long shelf life, and the fact that they aren't like 100% good to go at release is a joke in itself. But then you have a mobile version, which I understand it's completely different. But the fact that that has ranked ladders is kind of a slap in the face when they've already announced that Modern Warfare is not going to have ranked at launch, which I don't understand why. Like, what is so difficult about this thing? Like, we cross this bridge every Call of Duty where there's not ranked play. I don't get it.
And we've mentioned it so many times. I mean, it's just such a big complaint from everybody in the community. So for the fact that they just can't get it in the game from day one really blows my mind, because people were fairly vocal about it with Black Ops 4. So disappointing that it's not going to be in there to start. But with it already being there in ranked ladders and on the mobile side, it's not surprising, Tim. It is the biggest industry.
It is the biggest industry. It is. That's where esports is going.
There. I don't see a very vocal community on the mobile loot box world, because that's where most of, you know, that's where so much money is spent on the mobile side. That's why developers push the mobile side is just an easy way to spend, whether it's Candy Crush or Farmville or whatever you're playing. It's an easy money dump. So
you know what? We should return our new laptops that we just bought a Nuge and just get the iPhone 11, because that's where the industry is going.
I think the iPhone 11 is more expensive.
You know what's sad is you're probably right. The fact that cell phones are more expensive than our laptop, you are probably not wrong on that. It's ridiculous. What is your yikes?
My yikes of the week is a little outside of the esports realm. So for those of y'all that don't know, Tim and I are traveling to BlizzCon coming up here October. I guess we leave the 31st.
We leave on Halloween. Thanks, Blizzard, for making me miss my son's first Halloween. Appreciate it.
You know, they weren't thinking of you, I guess, unfortunately.
Or anyone.
But the event is out in Anaheim. We're flying into the lovely LAX, which is already hated by most. Well, LAX decided to double down on the hatred here. They are not allowing any more third-party ride-sharing apps. So this is like no taxis, no Ubers, no Lyfts. At the airport, and this gets implemented 2 days before we travel. So
you have
not
to take
only
a
it
shuttle,
sucks,
you have to take a shuttle to a rideshare parking lot.
Yeah, you're taking it to a rideshare parking lot. It's going live 2 days before we arrive, so it's going to be a shit show. We can already assume.
And it's not just going to be for us. Like, everyone is probably flying in that day. Like, it's like the Friday before, it's Halloween. Or it's Thursday, I think, is what it is. It's Halloween, so everyone's going to be flying on that day to get to BlizzCon, which is the next day. It's going to be, like you said, like I already was nervous going through LAX. The only time I've been there is like when I was little. And so now, like, it was already going to be a mess. I hate traveling, by the way, Anuj. You've never flown with me. I'm not a bad flyer. You just have to listen to me complain, which I know isn't too out of the ordinary for just any day life with me, but just be prepared for more complaining.
So you're saying my investment in my QC35s were a good one?
No, because I'll just keep tapping your shoulder. I'm like, why is this taking forever?
He said prepare for landing.
Why has it been 40 minutes? He said prepare for landing. That gives me the assumption that we should prepare. Why did I put away my stuff now? If I had 40 minutes to kill... Gee, this would have been nice to have my Switch
rookie
out.
Rookie move, Tim. You leave your devices out until we're literally about to hit the ground.
Until those wheels
and even
hit.
Then, you continue to go. If I'm in the middle of a movie, I'm not putting it up. No, yeah, so definitely a yikes for me. I know it's a way for the airports to make more money. They want you to park there and use their services. But to get implemented 2 days before BlizzCon, it just sucks. So
Devil's Advocate way, is maybe curbside just was really sucky, and so now going to a lot won't be as bad. Maybe
with a million other people in line.
That's my thing, right? It's like now that lot is just going to be a mad dash of being like, is this my Uber? Is that my Uber? Like which what's mine?
You'll really be looking at license plates that day.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm sure it will go smooth given the fact that we're pretty much beta testers for it at this point. So can't wait. But yeah, we will be at BlizzCon as well. So if you are going to BlizzCon, let us know. We can say what's up. If you're not going but you want to see certain things, let us know, because we will be attacking that via the ground. Let's talk a little bit about this. We don't got to get too far into it. But I asked the question to you earlier today, is NA versus EU a thing again? And I say this in the realm of like players' rosters, not so much skill, even though for a little bit there it looked like NA Counter-Strike was a thing, and now like Liquid is kind of a joke again, choking at any moment they can. I guess Evil Genius, but because when you look, it broke earlier this week that Alexi B reportedly turned down $1 million to play with Complexity. Jason flew over. He was whining and dining him, offered him $1 million, reported by Richard Lewis. Don't know if it's been confirmed, but he's pretty good on his word. To play for Complexity, and Alexi B said no. The question was, because I think we even talked about it last episode, maybe. They all run together. Is like, well, what was it that turned him away? And turns out that he was probably also talking with OG Esports, because now it's rumored, pretty much confirmed, that they are entering in the Counter-Strike world. Kind of weird.
Where did they get all their money from, Tim?
Winning back-to-back TIs will do that for you. You can buy a pretty nice roster when winning back-to-back TIs. So OG, of course, if you don't know, is top dog in the Dota world. Only org to ever win back-to-back TIs. So it's
dominate.
That's all they do is Dota. Yep. So it speaks a lot to Counter-Strike, the fact that they are coming over with the wave of all these orgs.
I like that approach though, right? Like, get really good at something. Show that you have a proven model and then expand your business. See it almost vice versa
everything.
Of like, hey, let's get into like 6 different esports at one time and really just be average across the board, but we have a presence in all of them, right? For them, their approach was, okay, back-to-back years, we're number one. We have the best roster. These guys are happy. You know, we know how to take care of them. Let's move into another tier one esport in Counter-Strike and put together an international roster. When we say international roster, this is kind of where the NA-EU part becomes a little convoluted in my mind, because EU, it counts every freaking country over there, right? Like, it's not like we're
Russia.
Just talking
like
about
they
Denmark.
Even throw Russia
yeah.
in EU.
They get everything that is not NA is like EU.
Now,
and
to be
so,
fair, NA does get Brazil.
Do we, though? Do we count Brazilian CS? Do we say, oh, that's when SK was winning? Did we say NA is on top?
I guess no. You said Brazilian Counter-Strike.
Like SA. Like South America was number one for a long time.
But you didn't even say South America. You just said Brazilian.
It only mattered for like pro leagues would we join the two. But
right.
You really wouldn't say like they're an NA org, other than the fact that they're based, you know, now they're living in LA or whatever the hell they're doing. But like EU gets everything from
everything.
Russia to UK.
Well, and of course,
anything
the beauty
in between.
Of EU, right, is like half the people talking smack about EU Counter-Strike is better. It's like from London, who I don't even think anyone in London has CSGO installed into their computers. So that's also
except
the beauty
for, other than Smuya, nobody is playing over there. They have like one right. pro player in the whole country.
Right.
I think actually Alex as well. But anyways, not a lot. This roster that they're putting together, pretty crazy. I know we're not doing like a deep dive on OG, but for people to know what their roster is, they signed NBK, Alexi B, Valde. Now, those three, what is something all three of them have in common?
Track record?
No.
You know how to say their names without hesitating?
They're all IGLs. So
okay.
I'm kind of curious to see how that plays and what roles they take or how they split up the duties. They signed Isa. Isa was currently warming the bench for Hellraisers, but we've seen him perform really well in a lot of tournaments. And then Jampi. Jampi is a young but really good opper, so he'll be taking over the op role for him. So they put together a very solid EU team. Now, to bring this back around to our topic of NA versus EU, I don't know if it really went anywhere. Felt a little dormant there. People, this is only relevant, I feel like, when you can just poop on NA, right? Like when NA is down,
yeah.
Then everybody is vocal about it.
100%.
Oh, y'all suck.
You know who cares about this NA's rivalry? EU.
Yeah,
NA
really
doesn't
it.
Think about it.
No.
Because when Liquid
for
was
a long
number
time,
one in
we
CS,
were...
no one was like, hell yeah, NA versus EU. No one brought that up. No one.
Well, NA never wanted to worry about it.
You Counter-Strike, baby. Like,
use back.
Okay.
Yeah, no, in my mind, it was like, it's only a thing when NA is performing piss poor. Is there more talent in Counter-Strike in EU? Yes. Like, we've known that. That's always been the case. That's not going away.
Right.
But
I
when
think this
EU
also
is...
gets brought up, too, though, when roster signings happen, right? Like, regardless of even tournament winnings, because, you know, Alexi B turned down $1 million to come play with an NA org, right? And that kicks up the dust of, like, well, yeah, because the talent's just not good over here in North America. Cloud9 has been struggling for... 2 years now, going on 2 years. Like,
I mean, since the Boston Major,
right? So that would have been, I think, what, 2 years ago, right? January,
yeah,
of 17, 18.
Been a long time,
a long time where they haven't just found their niche, and they've even tried shuffling out EU players. But again, a lot of those EU players, even though like it looks like things are going well, just want to go home, right? They're like, yeah, this was never like a long term thing, it was just for me to kind of stay in the scene and then go back, right? So we've seen that happen a lot. We've even seen it happen with teams like Envy, right? They've picked up European players in Counter-Strike. I think the one time you see outside of Counter-Strike where this is the opposite, right, is we're seeing it with Call of Duty now, where COD Paris announced their full lineup. Nothing too amazing. And I know we talked about this, I think it was like last episode or a few episodes ago, where, you know, what are these European Call of Duty teams going to have? Because the European pool for top talent, like, I know there are Europeans who are pros, but I'm talking top head turning lineup announcement type talent, right? I think even those top EU players are going to be wanting to play on the North American side, because they, it's where the skill is going to be, right?
Yeah, and yes. So, A, you're right. The best players in the world in Call of Duty are North American players. The second thing there is, with the franchising model, you're limited to X number of teams, right? In this case, what is it, 12 teams or something like that? So you're going to have to cross borders there if you wanted to find a team on the EU side, if you were an EU player, because there's only like three or four right. EU franchises, if even that many, right?
But so even majority here, like, of for the teams, like the NA side, right? Like, this is the first time where everyone's a free agent. You really kind of had your, for some of the players, I'm sure you kind of had your pick of the team, right? Like, where you wanted to go play. Like, Clayster, most, I'm sure, could have gone and signed with any city. So
but
the fact
he wants to be close to Austin, so, you know, Dallas right. makes sense.
So like, location does make a difference when it comes to the NA versus EU, as far as like, you know, and like esports, it's weird. Like, esports hasn't hit that point yet, and maybe it's a money thing. Maybe it's just the fact that everyone's so young. I don't think that's the case with the next point I'm about to make. But like, you see it in soccer all the time, where, you know, where's the best talent for soccer players? Europe. You're going to have Americans go over and play in Europe at a young age, because that's where the talent is at. So it's weird that esports hasn't really hit that turn. Like, people are in esports are still wanting just to play closer to home still.
Well, your example is actually almost spot on, right? Because who are the EU players that come play in NA? Generally think, where are they at in their career, right? Kerrigan going to Envious. Considered in the later parts of his career, was willing to take a shot with a younger team just to stay in the mix, right? Until the moment Now Sports offered him a contract, dude was on the first plane over there. Flusha to C9, again, kind of been around the ringer a little bit, was almost
so
feeling a little washed up.
NA Counter-Strike is pretty much the MLS for Europeans.
As a whole, yeah, because there's only now, like, the top tier is very different, right? When you start looking at Evil Geniuses, like, there is no Evil Geniuses of MLS. There is no Liquid MLS that'll go in there and whoop up on the best teams in the right. world. Like, that's just not the case. But there is a big disparity. With Call of Duty, you know, even COD Paris as a international team, they have two North American players on that roster. So those franchise leagues become a little different. I think Counter-Strike is the one league where you are always going to see that separation. It is going to be very difficult to get an EU player as an individual unless they need like that one shot on a big team. Think of what Complexity just did with Blamf, or however you pronounce it. I think it's Blamf. I'm sorry. I don't know how you pronounce his name. With him on the roster, okay, he's coming from Heroics. The guy wants to be on the big stage. Great, you're going to an organization that's willing to throw a lot of money at you and make you at least comfortable while you're here. That's important, right?
Right.
There's not many other orgs that have the ability to do that outside of really like Cloud9.
If they're throwing that type of money for Alexi B, like, do you think he was worth $1 million?
Not at all.
Like, that's an insane... Like, are players really making that much?
Jason
got
put in a... Well, I don't doubt it that the players are making a ton of money in Counter-Strike. I mean, I think the top-tier players, your Colzeras, your Nikos, you know, these guys are making top dollar kind of money here. I don't think Alexi B was a bad option for them. I just don't think the value... Jason put himself in a tough spot. He could have been doing this all along, and it would have been fine had he not called everything out and put himself kind of like
if he didn't try to
in
go,
the forefront.
He
could have been doing this. He should have been doing what he was doing, but he made it all very vocal. So I think he was also pressured in the sense of, okay, I better get somebody here or this is going to look pretty bad. This is not going to be a great look. And so I think they were willing to overpay. I don't think, you know, he would have been the best signing for them at that price, though. I really don't.
No, I don't think so. I think that would have came back and been a regret decision. Because, again, like we said, like, he's an EU. I would be cautious of any EU player coming to play over in the States. And that's just from a longevity standpoint. I mean, look, I know it's been a long time, but Simple is still my number one example to this. Where he was on Liquid, he loved Liquid. Liquid loved Simple. They were having success, and Simple was just like, "Time to go home.
Go home.
I want to go home." And Liquid
Nani
didn't
is
argue.
Calling.
Yeah, right. Like, this is my chance. Like, childhood team. It's and my home country. Like, I'm ready. Like, I'm ready to go home. And it there's no stopping that train. So
no, and look, most people that are playing Counter-Strike grew up Counter-Strike fans. Like, it's not like they just got into the game and didn't follow the pro scene. These guys are following people from their own country as kids. So like, Simple wanting to go back to Na'Vi makes 100% sense. Like, yeah. He grew up a Na'Vi fan. If Tim was playing for, I don't know, SK, and all of a sudden Cloud9 gives you a ring, like, you know what, guys, I love y'all, but I want to go play for my home team, you know? And so there's always going to be that NA-EU bridge. I think Counter-Strike is really where it's most visible. Across the other esports, it's starting to get cluttered. Look at Overwatch League, right? Now we don't say NA versus EU. It's really like NA versus like Far East. What do we say there? I don't know. What do you
Land
say
of
for
the Rising Sun?
Yeah, Land of the Rising
know.
Sun. But even there's like
cross-pollination
going on.
That doesn't even work
on.
Either because, yeah, like, you have NA, you have like American teams with full Korean rosters, right? Like,
yeah,
that,
yeah.
Overwatch is so different as far as that works.
Counter-Strike's the one where they really keep that rivalry in the forefront. They keep it visible, but again, I think it only comes around when NA is really struggling to make their rosters, right, or fill out rosters and not performing well. So at the top tier, though, not as big of a difference. I mean, having Liquid, having Evil Geniuses, you know, you're talking about two out of the top five teams in the world. It's really hard to say anything. But right, trust me, the moment they start losing, everybody's going to be vocal about it. It's back.
So yep. Let us know. Let us know on Discord or Twitter if you think NA versus EU is back for CS or anywhere else in esports. Did it ever go away? Are we correct? Is EU is a bunch of crybabies and they're the only ones who care about this? Let us know on Discord or Twitter at The Center Ring. We would love to hear from you. Let's get into some e-news real quick. A little bit here to get to. In CSGO, Kiyoshima signs with Team Heretics. I'm a fan of Kiyo. There are a few people in Counter-Strike that I really don't understand why they can't really shine in. Steel is one of them. Brazilian Steel, not American Steel. Brazilian Steel, FNS, and Kyo. Like, those guys right there, I never really understood why they can't find a home and stay there. So hopefully this is Kyo's home, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, for him, you almost wonder how he didn't get onto another top-tier team. This is on the lower-tier side in terms of re-entering CSGO for this particular team, so I think they'd have to make some more roster moves to be competitive, and there are rumors out there of, obviously, like, Lucky joining and Duvidek, I believe is how you pronounce it, but former LDLC player. So if they make some moves, yeah, but it's unfortunate because this does put him in a position to where probably not going to hear that much from him. It's like Scream joining Gamers Legion for that short period of time. Like, he was there, he was active, but you're not going to see them at any major, you know, events, especially invite events.
Right, right. So we'll see. In Overwatch, we'll talk a little bit about this, maybe even on Thursday's episode. But the World Cup is coming across over, you know, of course, with BlizzCon right around the corner. So drama is spawning from the World Cup, as, you know, if you follow it, Blizzard has announced that they're not paying for the teams this year. They're not paying to fly them out. There's a lot more teams this year, though. That's why. Like, before, it was only, I'm making up the number, maybe like a dozen teams, right? So it wasn't like as that big, but now there's a lot more teams. Blizzard's like, yo, we aren't gonna fly it out. It's based off your own tab to get out here. So that's causing some issues with some people, in the sense of, not like, some people are saying, well, that's messed up on Blizzard's end. I don't really think so, in my opinion. I don't know what the norm for that is, though. Like,
I how many teams are at this event?
I don't know off the top of my head. There's a lot, though.
It does feel weird that you're not paying for the players to come out, or like the, I don't know. Maybe we'll dive into this next week.
But
just
the world, and that's why, like, maybe this will be Thursday show. I actually have to, like, do research to see what the norm on this. Do teams, like, does the World Cup pay for, like, I know, like, the Olympic, the country pays. Like, that's all on the company's dime, or the company.
It just feels weird that they're not getting taken care of from somewhere. Like, someone should be taking care of them to get
at least a little bit. Yeah. Right, it is weird. But so one of the major issues, like Spain announced just this week that their sponsor, who for this entire time has said, yep, we're gonna fly you guys out, we're gonna be your sponsor, well, they, you know, haven't heard from them. We're like, what's the deal? Call up their sponsor. The sponsor's like, look, we would still love to be your sponsor, but we gotta back out, we can't pay for it, like, we're not gonna do that. So now less than a month of BlizzCon to go, and they're like, well, okay. So, like, they're asking for donations. I'm sure they hit it. I haven't looked, but they're not the only team in this situation where, like, they're having to ask for donations. We mentioned a couple weeks ago with Yikes of the Week, the jerseys being pretty basic. A lot of teams are creating alternate jerseys now to create for donations, so just kind of all of a mess in total. So we'll talk about that more, though, in a future episode before BlizzCon. Blizzard also released an article showing average player salaries. Kind of funny, because we were just talking about this in Philly. Like, what these players make. Remember that? We were talking with a couple of our buddies who talked to some of the players and got an idea. And this does kind of line up with what they said. So Blizzard posted in this article, in 2019, the average player earned $114,000, comprising a $97,000 base salary, $16,000 for prize pool winnings, and $1,000 for a signing bonus. The median player salary was $80,000, so the average. The league minimum, of course, is $50,000 plus benefits.
Which is pretty solid.
Yeah, that's not actually bad at all. Like, if your average player is making $80,000, your new player is probably making closer to 50. And then, like, we heard
top tier.
Yeah, we heard from an actual player in the league saying, you know, you're at your top tier, like, Korean player is pulling, you know, 100.
200.
Yeah, they're the ones pulling the big ones. So that's actually not bad. Like, that actually was kind of aligns with what I was expecting, but pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
In Dota, Team Liquid ended up picking up Alliance's former roster, so they didn't waste any time there. Not a bad pickup. we'll see. You know, it keeps them in TI competition, but so we'll see how that picks up.
Which is all that matters.
Right, yeah, like just get to the TI, right?
Get in and pray for some luck.
We'll figure it out once we're there. Worlds is still going on. Do you have an update there, Anuj?
I can give us the two eliminators from day four. We had Mega Esports. They were eliminated, and Flamingo Esports both eliminated with Damwon Gaming and Royal Youth advancing through Group D as number one and two. In Group C, you had Hong Kong Attitude and Low Key Esports. Right now, it's all the play-ins, so you're not going to be hearing about a lot of teams that maybe you follow consistently. I mean, these guys are all kind of trying to get into the big show right now, so we'll do a little bit more of a real update, you know, as we get into the more common teams and people that we honestly just kind of want to discuss at that point in time.
Right.
But yeah, this was a day four. This was a play-in for Worlds, and we'll kind of dive in a little bit more next week as we get into big boy matches.
Fortnite announced, or not Fortnite, but in the Fortnite community, it was announced that the players are starting up a players association. Made up of 16 players, both from NA, EU, ranging anywhere from, you know, the top pros to wherever.
And they'll be adding a ton more in there also. This was just the initial, like, starting group.
Now, this is to work with Epic as far as shaping the pro scene and just the game in general and how to handle it. My question is will Epic actually listen? Like, was this sanctioned by Epic? Like, or is this just the pro saying, let's get together and then we'll talk to them?
This is not sanctioned by Epic. I think this is done outside of, like, this has nothing to do directly tied to Epic.
Right.
This is just the players forming.
So,
because the game has been a mess. The competitive league is a true mess. And I think it's a great first step, at least to show Epic how serious they are about wanting this to work. You know, like, they want it to work. And Fortnite competitive it's just in a terrible spot. I mean, people are just not enjoying the game the way they once were. It is naturally going to lose popularity, right? It was so high up. So it is going to dip there, but I feel like we're seeing the decline a little bit faster than anybody thought we would.
Yeah.
I know that puts a smile on Tim's face a little bit.
No, I thought Fortnite was a great game. Really showed what true talent and skill was like. That's why a bunch of 13-year-olds can play.
Talked a lot about 13-year-olds today.
Now, 13-year-olds have had a lot of airtime on today's show. That's for sure. In other news, Big House 9, which is actually going on right now for Smash, the Melee bracket actually just wrapped up, like, right before we started recording. We wanted to watch it beforehand. And Mango ended up defeating Zane in the grand finals. What an unbelievable journey. Mango really didn't even have, like, the cleanest of events, but and Zane looked unstoppable. So Mango ended up resetting the bracket. You had the incredible pop-off. It was magical. Who would have thought, you know, I guess that's the beauty of Mango. It's like he either gets 13th or first. Like, he even tweeted out beforehand, and he does it, like, almost every time, but saying, like, oh, see you guys at Big House. I'm feeling either first or 13th. We'll see. And like, so it's always a treat to see Mango pop off. And you have Ultimate going on right now. Let me see what's happened here. Looks like they're still in their top eight. So we'll talk about Ultimate then, I guess, on Thursday show. But always fun. Always fun to see Mango do well. Also, Big House was in Detroit, so that's always a shout-out to them, too, as well. All right. Anything else, Anuj?
No, man. This is I enjoyed the show. Obviously, always talking EU-NA is a good time. And CS, man, it's just beautiful.
It is the beautiful eSport, no matter what people tell you. That will do it for this episode of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast, episode 180. It's done. It's in the books. If you skipped around, if you listened throughout the whole thing, love you all the same. We will be back Thursday as we record on Wednesday night. So if you want to catch that live, be sure and follow us on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, whichever one. We stream on all those platforms. so you'll be able to join the chat live. Talk some whatever's going on between now and then. Even if we have to make up stuff to talk about.
Which we never do.
Never do. We never fabricate. We never blow up news stories just for the sake of having a topic. Never. Never, never. So we will do that, though. We'll worry about that for Wednesday night. Go ahead and follow us on Twitter, at The Center Ring. Join our Discord. TCR.GG's got all that information there. But we will see you on the next show. I'm Tim for Nuge. We'll see ya.